Yashodanandan Vrajajanaranjana Yamunatiravanchari Yamunatiravanchari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. सीताई गौर प्रेमानंदी श्रीवार की मंत्र श्रीमद भागवताम की समवेत भक्त वृंद की निताय गौर प्रेम ऑल ग्लोरीज टू समदवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू समदवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू समदवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौर Hare Krishna, everyone. Thank you for joining today. We ask for your sincere prayers. We need your mercy. Please beseech the Lord. We can explore Srimad Bhagavatam. Today we'll be reading from the 10th canto, 18th chapter, verse 18 through 20. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Like we have text 20 on. Yeah. 19 is on the board. Okay. So. Should we chant the verse together? And then we'll go back. Tatra upahuya gopalan krishna praha viharavit he gopa viharishyama Vandvibhuya Yatayatam Tatropahuya Gopalan Tatropahuya Gopalan Krishna Praha Viharavit He gopa viharishyamo dvandi bhuya yatha yatham tatropahuya gopalan krishna praha viharavit He gopa viharishyamo Vandvibhuya yata yatam Yatropahuya gopalan Krishna praha viharavit He gopa viharishyamo Vandvibhuya yata yatam Tatropahuya Gopalan Krishna Praha Viharavit He Gopa Viharishyamo I'll read text 18 now. Tam vidvan apitar dasharho bhagavan sarvadarshana anvam odata tachakyam badham tasya vichintayan. Translation: since the Supreme Lord Krishna, who had appeared in the Dashara dynasty, sees everything, he understood who the demon was. Still, the Lord pretended to accept the demon as a friend, while at the same time seriously considering how to kill him. Text 19. Krishna, who knows all sports and games, then called together the cowherd boys and spoke as follows. Hey, cowherd boys, let's play now. We'll divide ourselves into two even teams. Purport. The word yatayata means that Krishna naturally wanted the two teams to be evenly matched, so there would be a good game. In addition to the pleasure of sporting, the purpose of the game was to kill the demon Pralamba. Text 20. Tatra chakru paridho goparama janardano Krishna sankatina kechid asan brahma sichapade. The coward boys chose Krishna and Balaram as the leaders of the two parties. Some of the boys were on Krishna's side and others joined Balaram. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kathamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamstra Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamstra Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanjana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Titanan Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasa Adi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Namo Shimudaya Krishna Vasaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Viranta Swamini Tinamani Namaste Sarasate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunavari Paschati Deshtani. Hare Krishna, everyone. Thank you for joining us this morning. Repeat maybe this text 19, which was on the board. Krishna, who knows all sports and games, then called together the coward boys and spoke as follows. It says that Krishna, who knows all sports and games, then called together the coward boys and spoke as follows. Hey, coward boys, let's play now. We'll divide ourselves into two even teams. I'm going to read these other ones as well so we get the sequence here. Text 18 said that since the Supreme Lord Krishna, who had appeared in the Dashara dynasty, sees everything, he understood who the demon was. Still, the Lord pretended to accept the demon as a friend, while at the same time seriously considering how to kill him. Text 20. The coward boys chose Krishna and Balaram as the leaders of the two parties. Some of the boys were on Krishna's side and others joined Balaram. So we're hearing today this The past time, the chapter's entitled Lord Balaram Slays the Demon Pralamba. And we're hearing a wonderful setting is here in Vrindavan, where Krishna is actually playing. We all heard this story how there was once a German spiritualist, and he went to India to find out who is God. And he saw that all of the deities were doing something, fighting someone or protecting someone, but then they saw that actually Krishna was just playing his flute. He was just playing. So you could understand that this was actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this verse says, Tatra upahuya gopalam Krishna praha viharavit He gopa viharishyamo dvandvibhuya yatayatam. It mentions how Krishna, who knew all the games, called together the cowherd boys and he says, Hey cowherd boys, let's play now. We'll divide ourselves into two even teams. So this chapter is going to describe how Lord Balaram, who is also the original spiritual master, and he's the servitor personality of Godhead, will have to remove a demon who has come to interrupt Krishna's pastimes. And we are just about in the beginning. Previously, we heard a beautiful description of Krishna and Balaram's playing, and suddenly these demons enter into Vrindavan. So, I'm just going to read these texts again. So, Bhagavatam is the spotless Purana, Amala Purana. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Yad Paramahamsam Ekam Gyanam Param Giyate Tatra Gyana Viraga Bhakti Sahitam Naiskarmi Maviskritam Tachin Vantupatan Vicharana Paro Bhaktya Vimuchenara. That Bhagavatam is the Amala Purana, the spotless Purana, which is meant for the Paramahamsas. This book is relished by liberated souls, the Paramahamsas. We have on our altar Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, his spiritual master, Gokishore Das Babaji. So they're relishing Bhagavatam. Because we heard very nicely last night that Bhagavatam is, there's a prerequisite to understand Bhagavatam. We distribute these books by the thousands, but unless one has the Adhikar, they can't access it. It's like a sealed gift. It's, imagine you give someone a gift, but there's a big chain lock on it. So it's hard for them to access it. But through purification, if one is sincere, by developing the right qualities, it was mentioned last night that if one is a sincere spirit of inquiry and service and submission, then that same Bhagavatam will reveal everything. It said, just as the sun dispels darkness, the Bhagavatam will evaporate all of the fog of confusion. All the darkness is dispelled as soon as the first rays of the sun come. So Bhagavatam is this Paramahamsa Shastra. So most people can't understand it. Most people, they can't understand this Bhagavatam because they're not following the right method, the right process. They're trying to use the aroha to ascend, the ascending process. This is the way we're trained in this day and age, that you learn things by using your mind and your intelligence. If you have a sharp mind and a good intelligence, then you can, then you're intel, you're smart, then you're successful in life. But Bhagavatam is not accessible that way. It's the Avaroha Pant, which means that it's descending knowledge. So only in a submissive heart, only with faith, can one really understand Bhagavatam. Our spiritual life means how much faith we have. That's what it just comes down to. Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that the realm of Goloka Vrindavan is attained through faith. It's the land of pure faith. So when your faith matures to that degree, then Krishna reveals himself. But we're still struggling with our faith. So therefore we have to associate with very advanced, pure devotees, follow the process, offer prayers to the deity, that we can come to that level. There's Kanishta, Madhyam, and Uttam. So the Kanishta has the weak faith, and he also doesn't have much Shastric knowledge. So he's in a dangerous position. That means at any time, someone can deviate him if he hears some bad thing or he gets some bad association. So the Kanishta platform, it's a very dangerous situation. Prabhupada said, we can't remain on that platform. One has to move forward. In the Madhyam position, one has the firm faith, but they're not yet well-versed enough to defend themselves from so many other arguments. So it's still also a little precarious because they can be in a situation where they know something is true, but they're not able to really establish that. So it's still, there's still some risk there. But the Uttama Adhika, he has this very firm, unbreakable faith, and also he's well-versed in the Shastric knowledge. So he can substantiate all his points. He presents the Shastra. He protects himself through Shastra. So the Shastras are guiding light. The whole essence of the Vedic teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Shastra Yonitvat. The absolute truth is known how? Through Shastra. Whatever Shastra says, that we accept. Whatever Shastra doesn't say, we can't accept. So if people are not willing to accept the Shastra, they can't know the absolute truth. Because the absolute truth is revealed through Shastra. Shastra forms the backbone of our whole process. Otherwise, we won't have sufficient conviction, faith. Because our own mind is tottering. It's always on the oscillating platform. Some days we feel very convinced, other days we're not so sure. But when that faith can be reposed in Scripture, the Scripture is that beacon of light that is always safe. It's a scientific process, actually. The Vedas are scientifically verified. One of my friends recently released a report. He wrote a whole paper how ancient Puranic histories are being scientifically verified. The times of different dissolutions in the universe, times of different manvantars, times of different fossil records. So it's not just a faith, blind faith that we have. It's a well-researched faith. Sometimes devotees get criticized. Well, you just believe something so fantastic. You believe about this Matsya avatar, huge fish, you know, 800 miles long. You guys are primitive. But no, actually, it's more lot when you have a proper system of receiving knowledge, it's more intelligent, actually, to consider, no, this is all, so what's the alternative? This was just some concoction, this was some grand conspiracy, like all of this was just, you know, this is what it comes down to. And people who are not following pure life, their intelligence becomes contaminated. So they see duality. They think, okay, we follow this, we follow the Bible, we accept the Bible, but anything else is, it's of the devil. So this is a very low level of faith where one can only accept one teaching because of, Bhaktivinoda Thakura says, an ass-like mentality. He explains in the Sri Krishna Samhita, there's a swan-like mentality and the ass-like mentality. Because there are certain regulations of religion that are given to help a certain group of people. But on the neophyte platform, they think this is the all-in-all. They can't accommodate another teaching for another group of people. So if something differs, it must be wrong. They have to do that because their faith is very weak.
So they established no.
Unless it's like this, it's of the devil. So this is the ass-like mentality. But the swan-like mentality is to see that actually there's one absolute truth. It's revealed in so many different ways according to time, place, and circumstance. And the quality of the people, which means the modes of nature. So this is meant for the Vedas bring one to Sattvagun. So those scriptures that are meant for those in Sattvagun can raise one to Shuddhasattva. But there are other traditions and practice which are meant for those in lower modes of nature. Like, okay, you're really intent on eating meat. So at least offered in a sacrifice, right, for people in lower modes of nature. The Bhagavatam is not going to tell you to eat meat. The Bhagavatam is going to say, don't eat meat. Live a pure life. Meditate. Approach the absolute truth. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. So there are many scriptures out there, but Bhagavatam is considered the spotless Purana. And Prabhupada writes that Bhagavatam, or actually says Bhagavad Gita, it contains all the knowledge of other scriptures, but also contains more. Ultimately, the identity of the Godhead, which is really what it comes down to. So, this is a... here we're getting a glimpse every day. We have a beautiful door opening to what the Bhagavatam wants to reveal to us, which is Goloka Vrindavan, ultimately the spiritual world, or Gokul Vrindavan, the pastimes of Krishna. And again, it can be received only through purity of heart and faith and proper oral reception. Otherwise, just by Bhagavatam is not philosophically to be appreciated. It has to be received submissively, and then that knowledge will awaken within us. And so that requires the service mood. We were hearing that you have Bhagavad is not by itself. There's book Bhagavad and person Bhagavad. So when our service mood matures, then the knowledge is automatically revealed. Jnana dipena bhashrata. But we can spend many time, many hours, many days, weeks, and months just studying something. It doesn't mean you're going to get realization. The realization comes when Krishna sees you are surrendering. This is the talents. How much are we pushing ourselves to surrender? This is the actual measure of purity. It's easy to take it easy. And the temple is a beautiful, beautiful place, but it's also a temptation to take it easy. Because everything is here, we have a nice space, we have a nice room, nice prasad. But that's not going to give us the depth of realization of Bhagavatam if we're trying to take it easy. We see all the great devotees there pushing themselves, and Prabhupada says, I'm practically whipping them to go out. So whatever our service is, the idea is to really push ourselves to the next, beyond our comfort zone. We get used to our... The material world is, the nodes of nature are such that they always try to drag us down to the comfort zone. Just relax. Just take it. Why are you doing so much? Wherever we're at. So we have to somehow push ourselves out of that space. Either by our own intense volition or by some senior person, by a deep connection with our spiritual master or by our authority. It's hard to push ourselves out of our own comfort zone. But somehow or other we have to stretch ourselves. Then when we read, some devotee, he may not study Bhagavatam, but when he's pushing himself so much, when he opens one verse, he gets, wow. Krishna jumps out at him because of that. Now, on the other hand, we could be studying all day long, but if we're not pushing ourselves in service, then we're just appreciating philosophically. This is very, very erudite. This is very well researched. It's well formulated. I like the verses and the flow. You're not going to get the depth. So, Pralambasura actually represents an anartha. Bhaktivedanta Thakur mentions all of the demons in Krishna Leela, they signify different anarthas that we have to overcome. I'm not sure who gave the last class, but does anyone know what Pralambasura represents? Not you. Not you. Oh, he mentioned it? He mentioned it. Okay, so the secret's out.
I figured you would know, but that's why I was seeing if anyone else knew. So, Pralambasura represents lust for the opposite sex as one. Also, fame, adoration, and distinction. So, whenever I hear Krishna's pastimes, I love to analyze them in terms of this description that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given as the anartas, because it makes the pastime much, it kind of draws it home, it brings it home a little more. And these are factual pastimes, that historical incidents, but they're also very instructive. All of Krishna's pastimes, when we see them in that light. So we can see here, what is lust, or what does these anartas do? They come up pretending to be something else. So in our consciousness, the ego pretends, it pretends to be something it's not. We pretend to be meek and humble devotees, but our ego is very inflated. So pretending, that's required to actually, in this world, to get fame, adoration, and distinction, one has to pretend. We have to put on a show that I'm much greater than I actually am. And this is the root of our ego. This is the root of our suffering. That we put up a screen. The false ego wants to make us more than we are. So for many lifetimes, we're carrying this big illusion along with us. It's like, if you imagine a little ant, and his whole life he's going around thinking he's an elephant. And the way he deals with others, the way he goes to his house, he talks to his aunt wife, he talks to his kids, but he actually thinks he's an elephant. He talks to them like he's an elephant. No one ever told him that actually he's an ant. So he's going to be, it's not going to be a pretty household scene, you know. It's not going to be, no one's going to want to associate with that ant. This guy thinks he's a big elephant. He thinks he's a woolly mammoth. So we all, some of us, we've been carrying this big infectious ego. And somehow or other, we're trying to, you know, beat it down. It's like a wild animal that you're trying to tame. You've got to just, you know, let into it. So we have to observe our own egos. That's the first step before we can really dismantle. And the devotees, the spiritual master, everything will help us recognize, you know, and ultimately, Prabhupada and the Kishore will help put us in our place. That's what we need. But we have to pray for that. Otherwise, we can continue to live in this pretending zone. Fame, adoration, and distinction. We want to be famous deep down. We're just craving, like, when will my day come to be famous? So we have to examine that and say, well, what? That's what Bhaktisiddhanta says. What kind of mind are you? What kind of Vaishnava is craving fame? So to expose these pretenses of the mind and the ego. The ego is like this big, imagine you've got like a huge, fierce, like sometimes you read about these big demons, what they look like, huge, touching the sky, copper hair, blazing eyes. That's like within us. And that when we interact with others and things, we should know that we have like this whole other dimension to our conception, our ego, that is not on the forefront, it's not in our direct consciousness, but it's in our subconscious. And if someone doesn't treat us the right way, and then it comes out, you know, it exhibits its form. Just like Putana, she disguised herself as this beautiful nurse. She was so beautiful that she just walked into the palace of Nanda Maharaj. And Yashoda said, and showed it, and all the gopis, they said, oh my God, it looks like the goddess of fortune has come. No one did. She just walked right in. Everyone was captivated. Exquisitely beautiful. But she was a demon. She was a fierce. So this is another point that just by beauty, it doesn't mean, you know, we think someone's very beautiful. We think, wow, they must be pure. We associate beauty, a very beautiful person, a very handsome person. We think, wow, this is a special, this is very special. But no, the demons are also can be drop dead gorgeous. You know, are we going to get attracted to them because of their external beauty? So you have to be careful. Not that beauty means, oh, they've done so many pious, they must be very pure. And Pralambasura is representing this lust, insatiable lust. In this material world, wherever we look, the whole society is trying to inflame our lust. Are you lusty yet? That's the motto of today's advertising world. Why? Because it sells, so they can make money on lust. They've learned how to market these anarthas. And greed. Are you guys greedy yet? Come on, step up your greed. Fame, adoration, and distinction also. We want to be unique. But these are the exact opposite. The ego is the opposite of the pure conscious of the soul, which is the most humble, menial, insignificant servant of the servant. And we were hearing this beautiful lecture by Radhanath Maharaj about Haridas Thakur, and how the real mood of a devotee is this, I'm nothing great, I'm nothing special. And in that mood, one receives Krishna's reciprocation, or Bhagavatam's reciprocation. This is our teaching. So Pralambasura, he tries to sneak in, but Krishna detects him. Krishna noticed him, and he says, oh, welcome. But inside he knows, I have to help this person. So sometimes, you know, I also found it interesting that in our society, we're such a pacifistic society. Peace is really important. It's like, if you're a peaceful person, then you're spiritual. But you guys, you don't accept absolute pacifism. Like, what's wrong? What's wrong with you guys? What's your problem? Peace should be there in all circumstances. In other words, no violence, complete nonviolence. But that's not the actual spiritual philosophy. And in Kali Yuga, we don't kill demons. That's not Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mood. He's the Yuga avatar. And so seems very outlandish. And that's good. That's healthy. But in previous Yugas, the demons actually pose a very severe risk to society and to the spiritual culture at large, because they terrorize the civilization, which is Vedic culture. So if someone's terrorizing Vedic culture and they're not willing to stop, then how are you going to deal with that situation? So Krishna's not hesitant. For us, it seems like, oh my God. Sometimes people go, oh my God, Krishna's killing so many people. I thought, you know. But that's actually compassion and mercy. The demons, if they're not willing to reform themselves, then they're causing problems. Of course, anyone who gets killed by Krishna gets liberation. It's a form of his compassion. But it's such a traumatic situation. That's why Krishna originally appeared, because Bhumidevi said that Bhumidevi, the earth was being overburdened by demoniac kings who were posing as leaders. So sometimes Krishna has to do that. So he's thinking, how can I kill this pretender? And ultimately Balaram will kill this demon. Balaram will kill our pride, fame, distinction, all of these egoistic drives that we have can only be killed by Balaram, the spiritual master, the source of spiritual strength, by his mercy. By the mercy of the Guru, then these obstacles are removed, which requires, just to re-emphasize that point of that surrender, that's kind of the main aspect that we can work on to try to achieve Lord Balaram's mercy. I'll stop there for now, see if there's any question or comments.
I just recently heard this one pastime with, I believe it was Srivas Thakur, and it just made me think of this when you're talking about, you know, devotees or Vaishnavas that are, you know, they put on a show of humility, but then actually they really want, like, distinction, adoration from society, and then, you know, they're like, okay, what kind of Vaishnav wants that? And I think the story went that someone was very envious of Srivas Thakur, and that all these, you know, raging kirtans were going on inside his courtyard. And so in the dead of night, he put different paraphernalia for worshiping Kali outside, like wine and different things, and with the idea that the Vaishnavs in that society would see that he was secretly worshiping Durga and trying to enjoy sense gratification and stuff, and then he would get to fame that way. But then the morning when Srivast Thakur stepped out to see all that stuff, and he actually kind of he went with it, and because he was actually looking to, he didn't want to be in such an elevated position. He was like, yeah, I have been worshiping Durga. I am such a, you know, or it was Kali, I think it was Kali, you know, a sense enjoyer and everything. And so, but then everyone knew because of his spotless character that it was untrue, and they obviously without a second doubted him. And so I always kind of think about, like, whenever, you know, one's doing one's service or doing any sort of aspect in life, to do it without this motive of trying to get recognition, because you actually end up getting more done when you don't worry about who gets the credit for it. And then at the end of the day, the people that do need to know who did it, they'll know who did it. So there's no need to, like, always, like, run around trying to get recognition and adoration and distinction, stuff like that. So I just kind of made that connection.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's so beautiful. Glorification of the Lord's devotees. Srivast Thakur says, just see. I worship, I'm a low-class Shakti. You can see all the evidences right here. So it completely backfired. It's a beautiful humility of a devotee.
Thank you, very glad you made a look. Really a lot of wonderful points, as usual, of defining the difference between tender qualities and pre-tender qualities. You were talking about the service mood. One thing I'll mention later is that Prabhupada says the service mood is to appreciate others, but one thing I want to appreciate about you is something that Rakta Prabhu says. One thing he says about you. So here it is, the gossip, no, the good gossip. He was like, even though Acharya Nishtha is such an elevated devotee, he could speak the scriptures very nicely, he'd give wonderful Bhagavatam class, but at the same time, you feel such good vibes from him. And I would concur with that. You know, if you don't give people good vibes, then you put on a good show, because your vibes appear to be good, and I think they are, if they're not, thank you for it.
good vibes only.
Huh?
Good vibes only.
But she was talking about the demon Pralambasura represents, like, you know, the sham of devotee, but internally, of course, that's all of us. We all have our Ananartha, so, you know, sometimes we're a sham, sometimes we're not, so, you know, we can't really criticize anybody. But you were talking about the service mode. One thing that Prabhupada says is a very important lesson about the service mode, especially in regards to associating with the Vaishnavas. This is from the seventh canto. Chapter 5, verse 12. In a purport, Prabhupada described what the service mood should be. He says, one should not be proud of one's own service. One should appreciate the service of others. That's called Vaikuntha competition, how we could compete in glorifying others. Because we see that when a circus trainer goes to the jungle, he never tells a wild animal, I'm going to teach you how to be a wild animal. He teaches the wild animal how to be a tamed animal. So we see that Prabhupada never told us in this purport, I'm going to teach you how to be proud of your own service and criticize the service of others. We're already good at that. He teaches us how to do the opposite. So one of the last points I appreciate about this Pralambasura pastime is basically it's talking about motivated service. We can't really see whether a service is motivated or unmotivated because everything is internal. But one thing that one nice lesson that I came across recently, again, I've heard it before, but basically we see that a child, when he sees a pool of gasoline and a pool of water, from his point of view, it appears to be exactly the same. They're both liquid. But you can test when a spark of fire touches a pool of gasoline, it explodes. When a raging fire touches a pool or an ocean, it remains undisturbed. So we see so many pastimes in the scripture, like Devananda Pandit. He was a great scholar, Vaishnava. He could recite Bhagavatam, but when Srivast Thakur entered his ashram to hear Bhagavatam, he was thinking, Srivast Thakur was crying in love, in ecstasy. He was crying, laughing. And he was like, he's a nuisance. So he got his students to throw him outside the Bhagavatam. And so we see the one thing I like about this pastime is that although Devananda Pandit, although he was at the right place, at the right time, with the right person, but because he had the wrong mentality, pride, and attitude, that he was disturbed by only a spark of adversity. Somebody was actually appreciating his class, and he considered it a nuisance since he threw him out. But look at Prahlad. He was at the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people, but because he had the right mentality, humility, and gratitude, he was undisturbed by even a raging fire of adversity. We see. So my question is that there's so many pastimes where devotees appreciate the service of others, but you don't feel that appreciation return. Like Gadahar appreciate Pundarik Vidyanidhi. I mean, Pundarik Vidyanidhi appreciated Gadahar, but Gadahar didn't initially appreciate Pundarik. Same with this Devananda Pandit. Srivasa Thakur appreciated the service of Devananda, but he didn't appreciate the service. So my question is, sometimes what can we do, or what should we do, that because when we face that situation, sometimes that ruins people's Krishna consciousness. I appreciate the Vaishnavas all the time, but they're not appreciating me. And so why should I appreciate them anymore? So what should our mentality be when we feel that devotees are facing that circumstances and they feel very hurt, not proud, but very hurt? I do my best to glorify. So maybe you could, if we're put in that scenario.
Yeah, one of my friends mentioned this to me a little while ago. He's not a close friend, but I was with him in the beginning. We were traveling together many years ago, and he, you know, some difficulties might have come his way. And he told me, we talked for the first time after like 10 years, almost 10 years, and he just started telling me how he's still carrying a lot of like, negative energy towards a lot of people because he felt he was wronged. He felt he was treated really bad and he just can't get over it. This is after many 8 years. So it shows a few things. It shows how powerful the devotee association is, actually. That even after 8 years, you know, someone is still caring, because that envy towards a devotee, a devotee is so powerful that envy towards them is such a strong emotion that it'll stay with you. Just like Kamsa, he was envious of, he started seeing Krishna everywhere. Because even though it was animosity, animosity towards whom? So even after so many years, that envy was still, or that frustration, that sense of feeling wronged. So I was just explaining to him that the advanced devotees, they never think anyone has wronged me. It's always between me and Krishna. Krishna is arranging all the circumstances. I can't blame anyone. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, no one can hurt you. Know that only you can hurt yourself. So whatever happens, however someone treats me, if someone beats me up, they spit on me, advanced devotees seeing this is between me and Krishna. This is something I've done wrong. They're not going to take it out on that person. So sometimes we might get into or be tempted to get into the mentality of everyone's doing wrong with me. Everyone's, but on the higher level, more introspection is required to analyze that this is the result of my own misdeeds. I deserve much worse. And that's the type of safe mentality where in any circumstance, no matter what happens, one can be peaceful. And actually, one can chant the holy name. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Kirtaniya Sadahari. One who always remains meek and humble in any circumstance, they can chant the holy name. Otherwise, we're holding on to this ill will towards others. You can do a lot of successful material activities, but you can't chant Hare Krishna. You can't chant the holy name. So that's a more higher perspective, you know. Does that make sense? Yes.
You were highlighting the, you know, beautiful composition of the Bhagavatam, and at the same time pointing out the necessity to perform some service in order to truly access the depth of the Bhagavatam. And you made a connection too with faith, that spiritual life is boils down to being faith. So when persons initially get exposed to at least the public face of, I guess, Krishna, in some sense, meaning the devotees, the practices, the faith certainly may not be there. And I guess the question that comes, that is uppermost in my mind is, in which way does one assist persons to be inclined towards service when there isn't faith? That's the thought that comes to me.
They may not have, there's degrees of faith. Faith is also according to the modes of nature. There's faith in the mode of goodness, passion, ignorance. They may not have faith in the mode of goodness or transcendental faith. They may not really know who Krishna is or things like that. But Krishna explains, first, just always think of me. If you can't do that, follow sadhana bhakti. If you can't do that, just work for me. So what we cash in a lot on is that people might not be always remembering Krishna. They might not have yet taken up bhakti, but they can do some seva. They have a propensity to work. All living beings work somehow or other. So service is a means by which even whatever faith someone is at, they will make progress. And in our society, things like volunteering or community service, these are very humanity, these are good things to do. That people are attracted, even if they're not theistic, they think, I should do something for others. So when we use that nature in Krishna consciousness, even without knowing, they'll be doing, be getting the Agyata Sukriti. It's a good thing to go and help someone. This is a charitable cause. So we can relate to them where they're at. We may not be able to go over the intricacies of deity worship with them. But we can present, as you said, the face of Krishna in a way that they understand it. That's kind of the art of preaching. It's to give it in a digestible, palatable way. This is sometimes a difficulty because we want to give the highest thing as soon as we meet someone. Very few people are going to be ready for that. Most people want to think, how is this going to help me in my life, in my day-to-day? So I think we can, you know, rack our brains how to connect with people on their level and gradually somehow, step by step, they become, and actually by doing service in the temple, they get a taste. Even they don't know why or they don't know who Krishna is. If you wash pots in the Hare Krishna temple for an hour, your first time, you're going to be in bliss. You're like, this is all, like, I've never felt so liberated washing pots before. I know that's a lot of people, they look forward to, like, can I do some service, you know? Because there's something special about doing service here. So we have the service for them, and Prabhupada says that service begins with the tongue. Everyone likes good food. So that's another way that no one is going to reject Krishna Prasadam. It's another way that, and then gradually that taste will increase more and more and more service, and then the faith begins to grow by association with devotees, being able to communicate with them in a respectful, loving way. That's a challenge we have also, because we have a wide community, and some people have very specific externals that they think stamp someone as a devotee. If someone doesn't fit their box, then it might not be pretty. So that we have to see beyond the externals and welcome, make friends with everyone. Krishna says, my real devotee, how can you recognize my devotee? He's a Suhridam Sarvabhutam. He's a friend of everyone. Krishna explains that this is the quality of the devotee. He doesn't just ignore this or omit it, but he mentions again and again, he's a friend to everyone. Every living entity he sees as a friend. So I notice this sometimes with children. They have this mentality towards all other living beings. If there's a bug, they'll be like, this is Mr. Bug. How's it going? There's a tendency to see beyond the externals that this is a friend. Now, this one that could take place, but so I think a combination of those things may help us. Is that okay? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granth Sarov Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.